Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, May 21st, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 59, the second paragraph that begins with, "Here are the steps we took," and we'll be reading those first three steps, ending with, "Over to the care of God as we understood Him," and commenting on those first three steps. Today's readers are Christine G., who will be reading the 12 steps. Terry S. will be reading the 12 traditions. And the readers of our text are Julie E.B., Sherry K.B., and Robin P. The share ID for Thursday, May 20th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 16,986. That's 16986. And this morning's Friday, May 21st, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting share ID is 16,993. That's 16993. Our newcomer greeter for today is Leah S., and Robin P. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Christine G. to read the 12 steps, please.
Christine G., the 12 steps. 1, we admit it, we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Christine G. And Terry S., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Yes, this is Terry S., food addict in Oregon. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but a service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
And thank you, Terry S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 59, the second paragraph. That begins with, here are the steps we took. We're reading through the first three steps, ending with over to the care of God as we understood him. And good morning, Julie E.B., if you could get us started, please.
Good morning. This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. Well, thanks for letting me share on such a day. I'm so grateful to everyone who makes this meeting possible. I knew I might be a reader today, so I had to refrain from reading yesterday to make sure plenty of people got to read. But I had my profound spiritual awakening in the paragraph right before this, asking for God's care and protection with complete abandon, full of giving up, and having reached the end of my course. So it's amazing that that's how this starts, that once I start by asking instead of myself or God or a job or a person in my life to care for and protect me, then I have this ability to take these simple steps. Simple, not easy. They are a suggestion. But just getting to step one, just to seeing my powerlessness, my unmanageability, every day I need to be living there. I had said, quoted from someone else, that being powerless is either the best or worst news in my day. When I'm fighting to be in the center of the world or to use self-will to accomplish something with food or with life, then powerlessness is so painful. But when I'm living in the relief that, hey, I'm powerless, hey, this is not manageable, and that maybe, just maybe, I could have a higher power. Maybe I could have a higher power who would restore me to sanity. I just feel a breath of relief when I talk about being restored to sanity, because the way that I believed, the way that I lived, the way that I went through life was not sane. And I needed a power greater than me. And for that power to be greater than me, it also had to be more personal to me, as the Big Book talks about. I had an idea of God, but in my heart and in my life, God spoke very similarly to the harsh self-talk that I had for myself, that I was worthless. So learning that I could turn my will and my life over, not to just any old concept or God, but to a caring one. What does care mean? The provision of everything I need for my health, welfare, and maintenance of my condition. Wow. For that not to be generated by me or depended on to somebody else or some circumstance in my life, but to be cared for just as I am today. That's what it is for me to live recovered and not cured today. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Okay, we're on page 59, the second paragraph. Here are the steps we took. We're reading and commenting on the first three steps. And if you have not shared, we do value your experience, but ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share too. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, I will take your name if you'd like to share.
Judy F.
Veronica B.
Christina J.
Christina J.
Irene B. Can I be heard?
Irene B. Any more? You can take a couple more.
Mary L.
Mary L.
Carrie V.
Carrie V. Okay. Let's stop there. I have Judy F., Veronica B., Christina J., Irene B., Mary L., and Carrie V. I think I got those right. Okay, go ahead, please, Judy F., followed by Veronica B.
Good morning. This is Judy S. I'm from Wisconsin, and I am a compulsive overeater. I am sharing on this paragraph, on these first three steps. You know, I know now that I have to wake up every morning and all I have is today. Just for today, this is what I have to do. I have to admit I'm powerless and my life has become unmanageable. I have to practice that and remember that. And the only way to do that is to do it every day throughout the day. And then believe, and I do believe now, it's taken me a while to come to believe that God will restore me to sanity. But I know that he will, because people keep saying it over and over and over again on this line, and it gives me hope. And made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand him. I heard something on the first meeting this morning. It was in the 8 o'clock hour, so it wasn't recorded, but it was something like, you know, it was step three. She was talking about made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. And I think she said something about it's practice, you know, it's as long as we continually, as long as I continually say, okay, this is what I'm doing today. I'm going to turn my will and my life over to the best of my ability and then go with that. You know, I've been in and out of recovery and, you know, being recovered and then picking up and being recovered and picking up. And, you know, I'm 5 days abstinent, and I just want to tell those people who are struggling and who beat themselves up about not doing it good enough or well enough that, you know, about 3 years ago, I put down the big bat. I put down the hammer and stopped hitting myself and stopped beating myself up. You know, I'm doing the best I can. I'm an addict. You know, I put down the food and I'm letting God direct my life to the best of my ability. And with that, it's all I can do. And also with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Judy F. in Wisconsin. And Veronica B., you are up, followed by Christina J. Go ahead, Veronica.
Good morning. I'm Veronica. I'm a compulsive overeater and a bulimic, and it's good to be here. Thank you, Kathleen, for your service. The first word of the first step is we. We admitted. I cannot do this, live this way of life on my own. I need the help and guidance of a sponsor. I need to have a relationship with my higher power because I am powerless over compulsive eating and my life is unmanageable. There, on my own, I don't have the power. I don't have it in me to not eat my compulsive, not compulsively eat and binge eat, because I ate through up for 15 years and I eat because of buildup emotions. And I know this about myself. It's deep down inside, I know this. So I cannot do it alone. And in January, I lost my connection with my higher power. And there's a lot of pain around me. So I wanted to work the steps again because I didn't want to go back into the food because this is what I do. You know, my default, my brain always says the food will take care of that. So I decided that I would work the steps again and, you know, get a deeper connection with a God, get a bigger God, because my old God wasn't working for me anymore. I had made a man my higher power, and that led me to a lot of pain. That was a lot of self-will run riot, a lot of self-will. So I'm learning to have a beginner's mind. Like, I'm never going to, you know, get recovered. I have to have a beginner's mind. And step one for me, I know deep down inside that I am powerless. And then my life's unmanageable. So I need a God and I need the help of you guys. I cannot do it alone. I cannot do it alone. So I get my power from you guys. I get my power from my relationship with my God. I get my power from committing my food just by making a gratitude list and really looking for the evidence of God in the day. And I'm just so grateful that I was humbled enough to say I need help, you know. Because I need help every day. I need help every day, multiple times throughout the day. God help me. And when I have a food thought, you know, I set my timer to 5 minutes, like my sponsor suggested, and I sit quiet and I get refocused, get recentered with God's love. And thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Veronica B. And Christina J., you're up, followed by Irene B. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, everyone. Christina J. from the state of Washington. Recovered for today. Grateful to be here. So grateful to be here because back in, I guess it was like 2003, I was working with a woman who was a hardcore alcoholic. Couldn't get it. And I talked to her about my eating addiction one day and she said, "You need a big book." I said, "Well, where do I get one?" She goes, I have extras, you know. And so I said, "Okay." And I went up to her house specifically to get it one weekend. And I quickly ran to my car and sat in my car and flipped through the pages looking for the chapter, what's going to tell me how to lose weight and get rid of this horrible cravings. And, of course, how it works sounds like the chapter. So I quickly went to this part where it says, here are the steps we took. And I thought, okay, we admitted we were powerless, and I was powerless over this food thing, that my life was unmanageable. I didn't quite get that. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. I skipped over those. I had that. You know, that was not going to be a problem for me. The rest of them scared me to death, especially 4 through 9. I just could not even fathom that. But then the book went on a shelf because it didn't have the diet, you know. And from then till now, in and out of rooms, because I kept coming back because there was nothing else. I kept trying everything else under the sun. There was nothing else that was working. Diets, pills, starvation, over-exercising, brain chemistry, natural brain chemistry supplements. You know, on and on it went. And finally, I want to tell you that when I came in 2014 and someone had told me about vision, and I heard the word recovered, and we hear this from many on the line. When we hear the word recovered from strong people on this line, I mean, the doors are blown open. I sat in my sauna that day, and I thought, my God, are you kidding me? What was the problem back in 2003? I had this book in hand. I didn't know how to work this program. I didn't have people breaking open the paragraphs. I didn't understand how to do it. Vision is an incredible gift to the world. Any program, OA program or any other program that breaks this open, paragraph by paragraph, line by line, word by word, is a great gift. And if you're out there struggling to understand what this is about, just start at the beginning. Don't open the book to how it works and try to start figuring it out for yourself. Just start at the beginning. Find a sponsor to go through the doctor's opinion with you, a recovered person, and begin to take this one day at a time, one paragraph at a time. You'll get it, and it'll happen for you. That was my problem. I just wanted to go to the chapter of how to do it, and I couldn't understand it. So vision has been a great gift. And it took me until last year, July of 2020, I'm 9 months in now of complete neutrality around food and working my spiritual and emotional recovery every day, because it gets crazy. Mm-hmm. Stuff keeps coming up. I'm going to finish up. Till now, to really get it. And it takes what it takes. And I'm telling you, the gifts are incredible. Life on life's terms. Every day is not a sunshine bank, but every day is real and raw. And we have fellows to reach out to. So God bless everyone. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. in Washington. And Irene B., you're up, followed by Mary L. Go ahead, Irene.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Irene B., a recovered bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I'm really happy to be able to share on this paragraph. I don't know where to begin. Although I wrote the principle right next to each one of these steps because I didn't know how to do this, and I wanted to know what it would take for me to accomplish what the step called out to do. And for the first step, the concept is honesty. And I could admit that I was powerless over food. There was no question about it. As a matter of fact, I thought that if I could just control the food, everything would be fine. And I really wanted to work the steps quickly. And my sponsor had me sit on this step for like 3 months. I know that's sacrilegious in this program, but she said, you need to practice this powerlessness. And she taught me that I was powerless over people, places, and things, not only the food, but it was my powerlessness over everything and my desire to control it that caused me all the grief that led to the buildup of human emotion that needed to be relieved. And the only way I knew to do it was through binging and purging. So I was powerless over my marriage, and she had me practice. You know, we were going to work the steps on how to become a better wife. And then I found out that my husband was living with another woman in another city. And now she has me practicing doing the steps on my powerlessness over my dependence on my husband. And this concept of powerlessness is so profound and powerful, but it requires honesty. And in this program, we talk about the fact that we need to put the foot down before we can get to any kind of benefit. And that's what my therapist said. You have to put the foot down before you can get in touch with your feelings. And in order to be honest, you have to be in touch with your feelings to know what it is that you're feeling. But I am very disconnected from self frequently. I didn't know what I was feeling. All I knew is I wanted to binge and purge. That's how I experienced my feelings. And if somebody asked me, well, what's going on? Why were you binging and purging? It's like, I don't know. The sun came up this morning. I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. It required a great deal of honesty to know how I felt. It required that I not be in denial, but that was something I could not control. And I'm just going to pass with that. I will say that in anything I encounter, that when I start to feel really anxious and angry and frustrated, I say, is there anything I can do about this? No, I'm powerless over it. This is in God's hand. This is in God's hand, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Irene B. in Louisiana. And Mary L., you're up, followed by Carrie B. Good morning, Mary.
Hi, this is Mary L., compulsive overeater from New Jersey. The first step, we admitted we were powerless over our food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Well, this is a very important step because I had no idea that I had a twist of the mind and an allergy of the body. And the effect produced by food, the sensation is so elusive that I even couldn't differentiate true from the false. I was in a hopeless state of mind and body, restless and unable to relax as the result of anxiety and irritable and a tendency to get angry. Once I admitted I was powerless over food, my life changed drastically because this first step led me to the second step. I always believed in a God, but I never thought I could go to God to ask him to help me control myself. So I realized that I needed this higher power. In other words, I have to succumb, to yield to a superior strength or force with a firm resolution not to overeat again. And the third step is when we are ready to give everything to our higher power. And that those three steps are very crucial because once you pass those three steps, all the rest of the steps are much easier. And you are able to get out of the jittery being before, the phenomenon of cravings, and an occurrence without explanation. And once we have everything to our higher power, then we see that we can go on and do all the steps. I am in step, living in step 10, 11, and 12, but I still go back to step 1, 2, and 3 because they are the key to everything that will happen afterwards. And thank God I don't have a hopeless state of mind and body, and I became more hopeful, and this program has done wonders for me as far as my character defects and everything that I do in my life. And I live the program every day of my life and in all my affairs. Thank you so much for letting me share.
And thank you, Mary L. in New Jersey. And Carrie, before I take you, just a reminder to everyone, we're on page 59. The second paragraph, here are the steps we took, and we are reading and commenting on the first three steps, ending with over to the care of God as we understood him. And I'll be taking some more names after Carrie. So go ahead, please, Carrie V.
Hi, I'm Carrie V, and I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater. I have to say, I've been in and out of OA a long time, and I've been abstinent for a year and a half now, so I'm very grateful for that. But I have to say that when I came in, I never wanted to go beyond three, and I deluded myself for a very long time that I was actually doing them, and I wasn't. 'Cause for me, you know, admitting I'm powerless and coming to believe in a power, it all has to do with letting go of the protective ego that I have for years built up any walls, and coming to believe that a higher power could actually and truly lead my life. I just, you know, never wanted that. I'm a believer. I'm a believer since I was a child, but actually believing that my higher power will actually and truly be there when I need him was something that I wasn't willing to take that step. And I did. And I remember it was like a moment when I believed that the God of my understanding would in fact t- take care of me, nurture me, protect me, and I let him. Now, I'm not perfect, and you know, I go through, and I have to practice 1, 2, 3, and actually practice believing I'm powerless over, you know, not just food, but a whole lot of things. And then believing that my higher power could actually see me through and turning it all over to him. I do that daily because I'm, you know, such a crazy addict that I do that. But in order to do the rest of the steps, I have to do the first three, and I have to do them, and I have to be practiced at them. And I'm very grateful that I have a higher power and that I'm connected to all of you and that we serve each other and help each other through recovery. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you, Carrie V. Okay, we're reading and commenting on the first three steps, page 59, the second paragraph. If you haven't shared in the last 3 days, I would love to take your name and hear your share. So anyone like to share on those first three steps?
Sherry KB.
Sherry
Melissa
KB.
Melissa W.
Melissa W.
Noel E.
What was that? Can you say that again?
Noel E.
Mary Ann.
Noel E. And did I hear Mary Ann?
Yeah.
And what was your initial, Mary Ann?
L.
L, okay.
Nancy L.
Nancy L. And I can take one more.
Tamara C.
Tamara C.
Adele R.
Okay, I don't know if I'll have time for you, Adele, but I'll put you down just in case. Okay, so I have Sherry KB, Melissa W, Noel E, Marianne L, Nancy L, Tamara C, and if we have time, we'll take you, Adele R. So go ahead, please, Sherry KB.
Good morning, Kathleen O. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Kathleen, and all our Team Friday. Yay, and everybody on the line. Well, I'm just going to dive right in here. I love the way we break this down. How we do this in this meeting. So, you know, the sentence before talks about how we ask protection and care with complete abandon. And then it's presenting the steps, and there are suggested program of recovery. So, you know, they're not trying to tell you exactly what to do, but they're saying if you really want recovery, do these steps. Because for me, I have a spiritual malady, and my only spiritual solution for somebody like me as a compulsive overeater is the steps. So, and yes, there are principles here. Principle for step one is honesty, and for step two is hope, and for step three is faith. And you'll just have to listen to the rest of the meetings to hear the rest of the principles, because I want to stick with these. So, you know, on we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. You know, for me, what really helped me a lot is to acknowledge that, yeah, I have so much knowledge. I really do. I mean, I could write books on this kind of stuff. The truth is, though, that I don't have any power, though. That's the thing. I am powerless. I used to get those two mixed up. See, I thought I knew a lot, so I thought I had all power because I could do this, I thought. But I don't. You know, I have a lot of knowledge, but I don't have a lot of power. And admitting my powerlessness, I had to not only put down the food, but I had to put down my ego, too. And that, you know, I am powerless over my food, and I'm also powerless over my life, which I never believed either until I started doing this work and realizing a spiritual malady. And, you know, there's the physical aspect of it, you know, the mental obsession, the physical allergy of the body, and the mental obsession of the mind. And then that other piece is my life is unmanageable. But I never believed it was because I thought I could control it. But how crazy is it for someone to turn a higher power into a bakery box or a bag or whatever you want, whatever your thing was. And then on step two, came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. You know, that power is capitalized, which means for me it's a higher power, God, as I understand God. And it's saying to me, I need to believe in something more than myself. I need to believe in something greater than me. because that's the only way that's going to help somebody like me who has a spiritual malady, and that the spiritual solution is the steps. And then step three, made a decision, and I'm not going to finish. Boo-hoo. Thanks so much, and I pass.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Good timing. Okay, Melissa W., you are up, followed by Noelle E. Good morning, Melissa. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Melissa W. Grateful to be part of this fellowship and recovering. I just was really moved this morning, and that piece that that really got me, sorry, just to be really emotional this morning, is I just had this realization when I heard this idea that my God just had that harsh self-talk, and needing a God that would provide me with, provide for me, and a loving God, and a God that would give me health and just take care of my needs. And I'm starting to work on step six now, and I've been in and out of rooms and other programs, and I'm here now. And I just want to say out loud, like, I trust the people in this room, but like, I don't trust like a higher power to do that. I just don't. And that's like really hard to say out loud. But like, I don't. Like, it's terrifying. Actually, like, it's terrifying to me to just let go. Like, I don't know, that just may all be all I have to say today. I'm just really grateful to hear other people say it and to be in these rooms and just to hear my story over and over again. I just don't have to live in my head. So, like, thank you so much to all of you, and just for speaking the truth. Thanks.
And thank you so much, Melissa W. Okay, Noelle E., you are up, followed by Marianne L. Go ahead, please, Noelle.
Hi, this is Noelle E. In Louisiana. Thank you so much to everybody for sharing so powerfully. Melissa W., I feel you right here, right now. What's coming to me and hearing everybody share, and in this part of the book, is just that, I mean, it all starts at step one. The steps are in order for a reason. And you know, trying to manipulate them and the order I think they're right, or the timing, is just like the false sense of control, you know? Like, you can become addicted to doing programs the way you think it should be done. And I just want to say that I am powerless. I've never been closer to the bottom. I feel like I'm below the bottom right now. And by God's grace, I am not in the food. I want everyone to hear that, because none of it is my doing. Absolutely none of it. I don't have any control over what is happening to me. It is being filled with the Spirit that's, you know, I guess in my own experience too, that I'm not in the food, and I'm also feeding myself, which is, you know, part of my addiction to food too, is restriction. So, Thank you for sharing this with me, and showing me that I'm not alone, because I've never felt more alone. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Noel E. in Louisiana. And good morning, Marianne L. You're up, followed by Nancy L.
Hi, thank you so much. My name is Marianne, and I'm calling from California. I'm a newcomer, and I just wanted to claim my seat today. I introduced myself at the end of the meeting the last 2 days, and I got some really lovely phone calls of outreach from other fellows. Like, I'm in some other 12-step programs as well, and I was really amazed at the number of people who reached out, not to compare programs, but so much more than I've ever experienced from other programs, and it just made me feel really welcomed. So I want to thank everyone who's reached out, and just thinking about these first three steps, these are all challenges for me, admitting my powerlessness. I love the illusion of control, and I'm very slowly coming to realize that it is an illusion, and admitting powerlessness is not giving up control, because the control I think I have is an illusion. So that's just a lesson I need to revisit daily, and coming to believe in a power greater than ourselves. Again, like, that's something that initially kept me away from 12-step programs, but for me, I have come to think of it as, you know, what I hear from other fellows, as well as just things like the ocean. Like, there's other powers. I'm not in charge. That's, for me, currently where I'm at with that one. And then making a decision. So all three of the first steps all feel very internal. They're not, make a decision that doesn't, that's something that happens in my brain. And so that step to me is about trust. And again, that's one that I struggle with, but hopefully with practice will get easier. So anyway, thank you again for this meeting and everyone doing service. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Marianne L. in California. And Nancy L., you're up, followed by Tamara C. Good morning, Nancy.
Thank you for letting me share this morning. I am Nancy L. I'm in Georgia. I am living in recovery, but I liked what someone else shared. I'm recovered, but not cured. These three steps are just so a part of my life today, and it's taken me several years to truly grasp the meaning of them and to make them a part of my life, because I came into OA 7 years ago, and if you'd asked me if I believed in God, I would have said, sure, of course I do. But I certainly did not agree that I was powerless. I did not agree that I was powerless over anything, because, and I didn't think my life was unmanageable, because I had managed an awful lot of things in my life, and I had accomplished an awful lot of things in my life. But one thing I couldn't accomplish was this disease and knowing how to manage my food. I could go on diets, I've been on many, and stay long enough to lose a lot of weight, but then my disease would take over and the weight would come back on just as well. I started to say as rapidly as it came off. It came on far more rapidly than it came off, but I've had a hard time admitting that I was powerless over food. I had to reach a point of almost dying because of acid reflux that was not only coming up into my esophagus tube, but was also going down into my lungs. After a case of double pneumonia and a collapsed lung and a five-day stay in the hospital, I came home, and the first thing I did was to start my binge eating again. I had almost died because of the acid reflux from my binge eating that had settled in my lungs. And yet I came home, and I started binging again, and I couldn't stop. And the God that I said I believed in was not hearing me. I was praying, and then I would go and binge again. But I was not connecting with my God. I was not connecting with the power of my God, because I was putting the food before my God, and my food had become my God. I'm going to pass. I thank you for letting me share. Thank you for being here this morning.
And thank you, Nancy L. And Tamara C., you're up. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service, Kathleen and everyone. This is Tamara C. I'm gratefully recovered in California. And I wanted to share how it helps me to go through these three steps in the morning. Sometimes I'll go for a long time and have this great routine or this automatic thought. As soon as I wake up, automatically I jump into, God, please direct my thinking and right into gratitude. But some mornings I wake up and jump right into, oh my gosh, I have so much to do. I got to get going. What's coming up first? And I especially find it helpful on those mornings to run through carefully steps 1 through 3. And I just remind myself, I find it helps to remind myself, what am I powerless over? Of course, I'm powerless over food and my disease of compulsive overeating. I'm powerless over my old ways of thinking, my dishonesty. I'm powerless over fear. That's a really big one for me. I'm so powerless over fear, being driven by 100 forms of fear. I'm powerless over my wanting to control everything and get my way and my resentments. So that's helpful to think about that. And then step two, I say a prayer just reminding myself, who is my higher power? And I'll just say, oh, God, you are my loving friend. You are a healer. You are all powerful. And I think of images that help me remember just how powerful my higher power is. And I say, you're a gentle, wise guide. You're my creator. You know me. So that helps me. And then step three, sometimes I'll just go through the third step prayer and try to pause and take it in and what it means. And I love that short prayer I've learned, God, I'm yours and I trust you. Just really try to take that in also, what that means. And seeing that I'm making a decision to live in the steps today. I want to clear the roadblocks and just hold my higher power's hand and let God carry me through the day. And then I'll go on to my 11-step prayers and meditation practice. And I do find a return to sanity. And at first it was a return to sanity with the food. Today I find a return to sanity with, like, going through the day. I really feel God carrying me. Like, a little bit of fear will come up and I will hear this voice saying, that's fear. And I quickly turn to God and say, oh, thank you. Just with all these things, just turning to my higher power and letting them go. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you to MRC in California. And thank you, Team Friday, this morning. And thank you to everyone who shared this morning. You all did service by sharing, and I really appreciate that. You had some really great, heartfelt shares. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Sherry KB, would you please read a vision for you?
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.